Good morning, 740 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone every Wednesday at this time, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Andy, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Let's start with recycling. I've just shared with the audience all of your comments yesterday about taking responsibility for it, saying, you know, you guys did some but could have done better. Big projects have mistakes. By the way, I thought the getting to 25% in basically a week from having been at 1,400 to 5,300, that's a pretty good accomplishment. So kudos for that in terms of participation rates. The one comment you made yesterday that I think I disagree with, and I wanted to talk with you for just a second, is you mentioned that you might do a credit, like a basically a financial compensation for your pain related to this. And I didn't really understand that. I get it where you're a businessman, you know, and when you're running a business and something goes wrong, you help people out by giving them money back, right? It's a good impulse. But as the mayor, aren't you basically giving the customer back their own money in order to compensate them for their pain and stuff? It doesn't quite fit for me.
Well, appreciate the question, and I think whether you own a private business or the city government, in essence. But the reality is, if you divide up how many pickups you get by how much you pay per month, and that pickup didn't happen, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a fair discussion to just say, hey, yeah, sure, some relief of, you know, on someone's bill when we didn't had the proper service, and that we wanted to have some type of service recovery. I get your point about, hey, well, the dollars flow in and out,
right,
you know, government wise. But I also think, one, it's a little different because this is an enterprise. It is run differently.
Okay.
This is not like Park and Rec, you know, I mean, the same way the airports run differently, you know, and Pensacola Energy's run. I'd love to make the same case of Pensacola Energy after the lawsuit over 10 years, you know? So I hear you, but I just feel like, you know, if nothing else, I think because even that bill credit is not going to be a lot of money to someone, you know, to most people, it might be to some. But the reality is, I think it's more symbolic of saying, hey, we understand that this could have been, you know, handled better.
Okay.
That being said, I had the biggest epiphany that I think I've ever had in a town hall. Not I didn't have it. I guess maybe I learned something. I think it kind of renewed
my
sense of like,
you and
I
Jen
know
Brer.
Still, last night. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I know we're going in the right direction. In this case is that we were trying to fix a broken system. And I was given the two choices of doing what we're doing now and stopping and restarting recycling so it actually works, or I could have knowingly prolonged a completely ineffective recycling. And when my rate was going to triple to drop it off at the MRF, that was going to be passed on. So we were going to end up in the exact same place we were in financially per month, except I would have been sleeping at night knowing it's not working, but just not wanting to ruffle any feathers or get to where we're getting now. So through that pain and through that anxiety and the anxiety of two changes and all that stuff, I still know we're going the right direction. And here's why. We found out there was a lot of frustration, especially in the Scenic Heights area, about going down to one garbage pickup per week.
Right,
and
right.
It was really baffling to me because I'm like, well, I mean, we only were picking up garbage twice for 18 months. I mean, you hear these people and you're like, man, it's like you were taking away something. And I kept saying, well, you know, respectfully, for generations before that, we were just getting it picked up once a week. What's the issue? Well, to come to find out in 2016, for years, up until I think at some point Mayor Robinson's tenure, they were picking up this one neighborhood twice a week and recycling, but they were just taking the garbage and putting it in the recycling. So in other words, there was extra service being provided to a neighborhood that no one knew anything about. No one, like none of my staff. None. And so it's like, aha, now I see why everybody's frustrated. They were getting provided service years ago that didn't even exist. So anyway, it's just a good microcosm of this, the all the change. And again, certainly we want to be accountable to our residents and the 21,000 customers. And we're trying to make that right. And we certainly are well on our way. We're on track. We're back on stat. We continue to hammer the communication about what your trash day is. So you heard me yesterday, and I appreciate you playing that. You know, we've got to own to have a good standard of how we message things. But I feel that we're back on the right track and we're really getting our department turned around.
And that was actually, you know, you know, I always like to predict, you know, what's this person likely to say? And I thought, well, I bet DC comes on and says, we did some things right. We did other things we really could have done a lot better, and I'll take responsibility. And that's exactly what you said yesterday. So I feel like I know you a little bit, and that's what I expected out of you. So the one thing you announced yesterday that came is, I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. The medical facility on Palafox, that old, ugly, dilapidated building that ECUA bought and had done it so they could have that containment facility for the overflow if the lift station fails, and it's just been an eyesore every time you drive past it. It's not the welcoming, hey, welcome to cool Pensacola. We've done all this stuff. But you're going to buy it and demolish it, I assume?
Yeah, we assume the same. We definitely are excited for that. I feel it's, as I said in my press conference, the symbol of commercial blight, I think, within the city limits. You know,
yeah.
This hospital has been sitting there forever. It's been sitting there since I moved back home from college, although I don't think it was even being used. And yeah, we're paying about $1.2 million. Good news is it's all 100% grant funded through the Hollis T. Williams grant. So this is not coming out of, you know, I just told our town hall folks last night, if there's one misperception in that I deal with on a daily basis, it's the how things are funded. So like anytime there's ever an announcement about any Palafox Street about buying a building, there's so much confusion, understandably, honestly, like how is a citizen going to be able to follow all this? But
right.
My advice to them was, don't make an assumption because you see the city or the county or anyone spending X million dollars that means that can easily be transferred to whatever your priority is. That is not the case, and it usually isn't 99% of the time, and this is another one of those examples. This is fully grant funded. This is not coming out of any general fund, not coming out of local office sales tax. So number one, we're excited about that. Number two, is that we paid the price per acre of vacant property ultimately is, and there has to be an appraisal, and this is Florida Commerce type grant money. So all of those controls are in place. And, so we are super, super excited to be able to get this symbol of commercial blight that has been sitting there for years, dilapidated. We get calls cause somebody's on the roof. We know it's a major eyesore for really two neighborhoods. You know, you have the East Side neighborhood, to the east, and you've got North Hill to the west. And
yeah.
So to be able to finally, after years, I mean, these are two out-of-state owners that aren't the easiest to get a hold of. I mean, I've been doing this negotiation personally for months alongside our team, and just even be able to get people on the phone has not been easy. And so we are excited for that. And people are pointing out, well, hey, you know, they bought it from ECUA for $75,000, which from a government standpoint, certainly is frustrating, and I was not there. I don't know if it was offered to the city or something like that at that time, but we are where our feet are. You know, so my right. choice is not buy it or buy it for what the assessed property value is. So there's lots of folks saying, well, why would the city buy it for $1.2 million when it was only $75,000? Well, pretty simple. The same reason you wouldn't sell me your house for what you paid for in 2016,
right.
or that if your grandmother gave it to you and she paid $30,000, you're not going to sell it for $30,000. Anybody that's ever dealt in real estate whatsoever understands that. So I'm not going to get lost on what someone paid for something 10 years ago.
Well, even at that, I mean, ECUA, I guess, the P&J article I was reading yesterday, the ECUA had bought it $600,000 earlier that year. So really, it's ECUA that sold it at 90% of a loss. And now, you know, I mean, if it had been $600,000 then and $1.2 now, I mean, that's barely market improvement. So it's
exactly.
really the choice by ECUA to offload it so cheap, I think, is what creates this, you know, seeming profiteering for them. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, if it's a good deal, it's a good deal, no matter what somebody's making off of it. So, but this is going to be
exactly.
part
yeah.
of the stormwater project. This is like the north end of the stormwater project, right?
Exactly. So it's 2 acres, and it's a big part of we knew that, you know, getting this piece, and again, there's still some what ifs. There's environmental things that happen. We expect it to be, there's some environmental issues. There's still some communication that's got to happen between. So that's why I said yesterday, cautiously optimistic. We
yeah.
certainly have an agreement in principle. We know that. But there's some other hurdles to deal with. But
can I pause
yes,
you?
Absolutely.
Can I pause you on that? Because you make me think of something
yeah.
that I know for the longest time, the Baptist project was hung up over the concerns about discovering that there would be massive remediation costs and the unknown around that.
Yes.
This is also a medical facility. Is not the same level of uncertainty present?
Yeah, probably so. Well, actually, I guess, is there uncertainty present? Yes, there's absolutely uncertainty present. Now, what we're saying is we expect that there's going to be it would be unfair and irresponsible to say, oh, we assume there's no issue here given the date of the construction, right? I mean, so we expect there to be some. We obviously have some due diligence period to be able to get in there, and then we can assess what we want to do from there. But you know, as Tom Murphy from the old mayor of Pittsburgh, very successful in helping turn around Pittsburgh, always said, you know, you control the dirt, you control the future. You can and so, you know, the city being able to get in there, and now we're not beholden to decisions of people from New York that own it, but in fact that the city, regardless, so if it stays up a couple more years or we go find funding for it, like the Gibson School, same thing. You know, hey, if we control the future of Gibson, we know that it won't fall into the wrong hands or into the wrong decision. So I think that's really job number one right now.
So many things going on. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I did want to take a second to at least do a little bit of credit. The LinkedIn's top 25 cities on the rise, Pensacola, pretty good.
Yeah. And I think even more exciting for us is the fact that it's not just top 25 because it's a nice city. It's top 25 of basically wanting to attract talent here. And since I've started, I've said, hey, you know, the best asset we can have is for our young people to want to stay here and want to move here. And so I take extra pride in the fact that the measurable was, where are we seeing job creation and where people want to go? And so to be the only city in Florida that's in that, and then the top 25 is awesome.
Well, and chicken and egg is not quite the right thing I'm looking for here, but if you make a city appealing to attract talent, talent will then demand that the city continue to do great things, which will make it a better city, which will then attract talent. Like, it's a feed cycle, sure. Right? So the kind of citizens that you want here are the kind that we're attracting, which is why it's kind of it's a neat metric to achieve on. Project that came up in city council, it's a little thing, but I think sometimes little things make a big difference. Improving the entrance on the north end, not the north end really, but when you're coming down I-110, you get off on Garden, there's all that kind of... Yep. Ugliness. And now we're going to be putting up a larger fence, more foliage, trying to clean up that intersection of Garden, South 110, Alkenes, that area, right?
Yeah, and this was solely, and CRA is going to get it executed, and Erica and Victoria are doing a good job getting that pushed through. But it really comes down to this. If you want to hearken the best comparison of me being a business owner before, is what does the customer see? Mm-hmm. What does our visitor see? What does our resident see? And the fact is, most people that are going to be coming in from out of town that come in downtown are getting off on that ramp. And what message have we been sending for years? You know, of the neglect and how it looks on the right, and that, you know, broken fence and dead plants. And, you know, and I joked at the IHMC opening when the new building, I said, well, thanks for at least, you know, helping us improve this landscape some.
Right.
So, because you can see it when you come right off the ramp. But, you know, FDOT did the garden medians in the last couple of years that look way better than they did before. And so it's nothing complex. It's as simple as that. Is I want you as a resident or as a visitor, or when your family comes into town, to get off in downtown and say, hey, this feels nice. And there's really no other science to it other than that. And that's just kind of back to my business days of saying, what does the customer see? What's that first impression when they come into the city?
Paint and landscaping is better than blight and chain link fences and broken down things. And understanding that is a big part of how you transform the appeal of a city. Quick questions, lightning round. We always like to end with the quick questions for the mayor. How do you answer the phone? Do you say hello? And do you speak first when you're answering the phone?
Do I know the person? I'm like a, hey, what's going on, you know.
Okay.
I don't say hello, like I don't pretend like I don't know who it is. I always
think that's funny. Not formal. Okay, very good. With the
this
passing,
like a, I'm not gonna say like this is DC, you know, when I know it's Andrew calling.
Okay, fair enough. Hey buddy, with the passing of Ozzy, I have to ask you this question. I have no idea what the answer is. What's the hardest rock album DC Reeves owns?
Man, you know, I wasn't as hardcore as Andrew McKay. You know, you know, 97, you know, WABD, you know, and of course once Cat Country came out, then I changed over to that full time. I was never a metal guy. I mean, it would have to be like Pearl Jam or something, which doesn't even count.
All right. Well, it's sort of, it's not exactly in that vein. It's driven by other events, but I do have a question. It's a little bit personal. Have you ever been to a Coldplay concert? or been on the Kiss Cam?
I have not. I don't. Why does that feel incriminating to ask me that now? Yeah. No, sir. I absolutely have not ever been.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for the time on Wednesday. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Amy and Candace.